It wasn't to me. You hang up on me one more time. Got you like a fish. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Hello, Ben. What's your favorite Brothers Movie Factory episode?
Seven is up there.
But two of them are leaving.
Exactly. Indeed, over there, Ghostface Gus. Ghostface Gus. There you are.
That's what they called me in high school.
Is it? Because I don't think they did.
They did.
But yes, indeed, over there, Gus, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, welcome in to Halloween October, spooky month. Insert ghost noises here. Yeah, see, there it is. Indeed, we are the Brothers Movie Factory, and what we do on the podcast here is every week we take a film, we watch said film, we then go to the pod to talk about that film, what we liked, what worked, what didn't, what was good, what wasn't. Then we submit that film to the factory. That's where we take the movie we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, same story, same everything, just modern booking. Modern booking, people. For this month, though, it's October, spooky month, so we're doing something a little different this year. Last week, we watched Lost Boys, and we recast the cast as famous vampires. So this week, we watched Scream. So we are going to do a little twist on that here, too, for the factory. So stick around to see what we do that. Stick around for the twist. See what it tastes like. indeed. So this week we watched Scream, one of my favorite Halloween movies. I think maybe not one of your favorite Halloween movies, one of your favorite horror movies, slasher movies. I think it's one of the best slasher movies there is.
I will say one of my favorite slasher movies.
You wouldn't say it's one of your favorite Halloween movies.
No, probably not. And we'll get into why.
Why? Yeah, Scream, though. I mean, this came out in the 90s. Kind of.
1995.
The birth year. Came out at a time where the slasher genre and, like, the horror genre was kind of not dying, but was stagnant. It was formulaic, not a lot to it. And this introduced kind of a new take where it was modern and smart. It was like a smart slasher, which to that point, you could say, you know, you have, well, I think Halloween is one of the scariest movies of all time. But like, you have your Friday the 13th and your, is Nightmare on Elm Street considered a slasher?
I believe so.
You had those where they were
supernatural slasher.
Yes. They were more like popcorn horror. Kind of deal where it was like entertainment and horror kind of deal.
And by the time we're in the 90s, like things like Nightmare on Elm Street had run its course. Too many sequels and rushed productions caused, you know, weak films. And the Friday the 13th movies, you know, people are fans of them. I am too, but you can't tell me that any of those are any good.
It's
one of those deals, like, by the...
Not gonna dream no more. I set you off, from? I'm sorry. The movie Warrior with Tom Hardy. Wait.
Might as well.
Bryson.
That's a good slasher, too.
Yeah. But Kurt Angle gets out there as Koba, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah. By the time we creep into the 90s, horror movies and slashers in particular were on the weak side. But here comes Scream, which was, yes, almost self-aware of what it was, and it refreshed the genre.
It's not almost self-aware. It is self-aware.
They're not, like, winking to the camera, but yes.
Sometimes. Sometimes they are.
Scream, baby. Yeah. And yeah.
It's a very specific formula.
He says it there. After this movie came out, there was a slew of like almost copycat movies. Just a slew of new slashers. Like I Know What You Did Last Summer, Valentine, Scream 2, and many more. Halloween tried to make a resurgence. And amongst others,
Cube. That's not a slasher film though. That's like Saw Light. Yeah.
Cube, yeah, those are just made for gore's sake. But yeah,
Candyman came out in 92, right before this, so that was a big one,
a classic.
Yeah. But this is like Wes Craven's New Nightmare came out the year prior to this, which it's considered pretty good. New Nightmare, because it's pretty original and neat, but
it's all right. Yeah, it's
Scream came out in 96. You cretin. By the way,
I am. Jeez, Pete. A year after the birth.
And then Scream 2 came out a year after.
Mm-hmm.
But just throwing it out there, you know, we're saying that these 90s movies, 90 horror was a little rough, but I'm just want to throw it out there. The scariest 90s movie of all time came out in the 90s. It came out in 1990. Can you tell me what it is? Scariest movie of all time.
Came out in 1990?
Yeah, the spookiest movie you can think of came out in 1990.
It came out the day I was born in 1990, and that's It.
No.
Oh, shit. What else came out in 1990? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I said the scariest movie. It is a horror movie. It's considered a horror movie.
It's horror. Then it probably isn't. What is it?
Tremors. The spookiest movie there is.
I should have thought of that right away.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, there was, after this, like you said, after this, a lot of... I didn't realize Misery came out in the 90s. After this, a lot of other, like, horror movies did make their return. But you did see some... the 90s had some interesting, trend-setting horror films... like Scream, like Blair Witch Project, which came out in 99, Scream 2 even. Like, I think Scream 2 is just slightly less, like literally an inch away from Scream. Like, Scream is fantastic, Scream 2 is great. Like, they're pretty close, mostly because they're the same film.
Why do you like Scream so much? You said it's... You definitely consider it a Halloween class or a Halloween, classic for you and one of your favorites, rather. I'm sorry, trying not to burp.
Burp anyways.
You said it's one of your favorite Halloween movies. Why?
Well, I think mostly the reason behind it is that it's so goddamn smart. I appreciate films that. So. I guess this is first, I have to preface it by stating basically when I grew up, when I was growing up, and you're obviously aware of this, I was not a horror movie fan. You did like horror movies though. So when Halloween time rolled around, you would watch Halloween movies in the living room. We grew up deprived. We had one TV that had actual TV, had satellite. And you would watch horror movies, as with Mom and Dad. And I don't know if you recall this, I'm sure you do, I would sit next to the TV many a night and avoid watching said films and just listen to the cries and screams of the victims, which is just as bad to a 8 to 10-year-old. I can recall, like, I was irrationally scared of things. Like, driving home at night, I would be nervous that, like, Michael Myers was climbing on top of my car, like, whatever movie that is that he does.
The fourth one.
Yeah, like, that, like, I'm scared of the fourth Halloween movie. That's how pathetic I was. There's a lot of things like that, and it wasn't until I got to, like, ninth grade, where I grew up a little bit, but also... found it interesting and fun. I found it like more as a fun, which is, I think, what a lot of people see, how a lot of people see horror movies as fun. Like, they scare you, but it's fun to be scared, right? Like, that's how people, a lot of people feel. That's why when you watch a horror movie and it gets you good, you always like look to the person next to you and laugh or smile or whatever it may be. Unless you're Gus, then you puke a little bit in your mouth. But
cry and squeal and squee.
But it wasn't until like ninth grade where I became, it was around Paranormal Activity. When Paranormal Activity came out, I enjoyed that film. I didn't think it was scary. I thought it was creepy. But then Paranormal Activity 2 came out, and that was fun. And then Paranormal Activity 3 came out, and that was probably one of the most entertaining theater experiences of my life, because I saw it with you, and you were not having it. So those started it. But it became a thing where I have fun with these horror movies. And I actually remember watching Scream for the first time and just being creeped out, especially with that first scene. But also just being it's so expertly crafted. Because I guess what we have to start with is, you know, you asked why I enjoy this film and consider it to be one of the greatest horror movies of all time. It's expertly crafted. It makes you scared. It's full of suspense. I've watched it so many times now, so it's lost a little bit of its luster. But that first time watch, you don't know who the killer is. And they do a really good job at setting up, you know, it could be Dewey. It could be
Henry Winkler.
Yeah, it could be Henry Winkler. It could be
covered in bees.
It could be Billy. It could be old Shaggy. It even could be, technically, when you get down to it, it even could be Tatum. Like, because at the beginning, if you're suspecting Shaggy, Matthew Lillard's character, you could, at the very beginning, she says, you know, it couldn't have been him. He was with me last night. He gives her an alibi, or she gives him an alibi, so it could be her. Like, everyone's a suspect. Or I forget his name, but the movie nerd. His name escapes me, which he's like one of my favorite parts of the movie too. Randy, played by
Jamie Kennedy, but yeah,
Randy. It's expertly crafted, smart. It shows its age. There are some things where I'm like, that's kind of stupid, but it's suspenseful, and it doesn't rely on cheap jumps. It's just smart. It's a smart slasher, which is hard to come by. Very hard to come by.
Do you know what I think the smartest thing it did was?
Play the Halloween movie in the background so it has its touching greatness.
The music that played in Halloween was scarier than anything that played in
the music, and I was stick by it, and we'll talk about it in a future episode, I'm sure. The music in Halloween is the scariest music of all time, and John Carpenter deserves an Oscar for it.
We will debate this, but I think the smartest thing Scream did was leading into it coming out and its opening night.
Oh, so, yes.
All the previews, all the trailers, the poster. Look at the poster.
Yeah.
Drew Barrymore, front and center. She's the biggest name, you know, other than maybe. Well, anyway, she probably was the biggest name.
Neve Campbell in the movie. Isn't that a lot? Rose McGowan, was Rose McGowan even big at that point?
Matthew Lillard really wasn't. And Courtney Cox was, you know,
but David Arquette.
She was a friend. But I'm saying, like, Drew Barrymore, like, this is like a slasher movie, like, you know, the who's going to be the final girl kind of deal. Like, Drew Barrymore is like
the
star of this movie. Yeah, that's how they're presenting it. She was the main character. She's on all the posters. And that was what was so smart, was they kill her off in the opening scene, and it just diverted expectations immensely. I think that's what was so smart, because it really threw people, and they're like, oh, this is, I don't understand this. This is different. Like, I wasn't expecting that. And it just, like I said, subverts your expectations to create new ones, as in you can't expect anything. You don't know what to expect. So here we go. Who's the killer? And they set it up in this movie, but yes, in the sequels, it's now every movie you're like, okay, here are the players, here are the characters. Who done it? Who's the killer? And it's like you said, it's very fun to watch and experience that.
Because it's like a horror slasher mystery almost.
Yeah, like a whodunit slasher. And yeah, this movie is very fun to watch. It doesn't. I was describing it to my girlfriend, and she will never watch this movie because she's spooked.
Oh yeah,
by spooky movies.
She'd be done.
Yeah, and I was like, it's the kind of scary movie that doesn't make you feel like a piece of shit when it's over. Like, you don't feel miserable. Like, it doesn't have a bad ending.
It has a happy ending, technically.
Has technically a happy ending, technically.
Kind of.
A hopeful ending. How about that?
Until you watch the sequel and you're like,
And, yeah, this movie's great. It has an iconic killer in Ghostface,
Was that costume like a big thing before this, and this movie made it big?
Yes, it was a like generic costume that you could buy anywhere.
Okay,
that costume.
That's fantastic.
They just used that and kind of modified it a little bit, but yeah, and now it's iconic for Scream. Originally, though, they wanted it to be all white to represent more of a ghost, but it kind of, the reason they pulled the plug on that, well, two reasons. One,
all the blood.
One, having it be a black cloak was much more ominous and intimidating. But when they originally did the white getup, it kind of looked a little too reminiscent of a particular group.
Ah.
Yeah, so they're like, nah, let's not do that. let's scrap that. But yeah, and the, another fun factoid about Scream. Scream was not the original title.
It was Stab. No.
The original title of this movie was Scary Movie.
I did know this. Because that's what inspired the movie Scary Movie, correct?
Yeah. Yes. It was called Scary Movie up until like way into production. Like everyone had t-shirts of Scary Movie kind of thing on the crew. But the producers found something like Scream to be more marketable than Scary Movie.
Definitely. Scary Movie seems like a comedy. And maybe that's just because of hindsight, but
it probably is because of hindsight. And I mean, Scary Movie, calling Scream Scary Movie, it does play into what they were going for. Like a tongue-in-cheek, like this is like we are self-aware kind of thing of this genre of movie.
But it's still effective. I feel like Scary Movie seems more lax than Scream.
Yeah, and that's why they went with that. It's a line in the script. Go ahead and say it.
What, Scream? Or
when he says it's a scream.
It's a scream. You're gonna love this one. Like Shaggy, you bastard.
Wes Craven.
Old wife was like, he's crazy. Like, I don't like him. I'm like, what, Matthew Lillard? And she's like, yeah, he's like, how do you get to be that weird? Like, he's so weird. I'm like, I don't know. He played Shaggy. I don't know.
Yeah, he actually went in. He was like accompanying his then girlfriend to a different audition in the same building, but the casting director saw him in the hallway and asked him if he would audition for the part. And he got the role because of his end quoted incredible ferocity.
So I mean, Matthew Lillard, he's an underappreciated actor, I feel.
Yeah, I agree. He's very good for pretty much everything.
Yeah, and he's great in this. Like he is one though, like you watch him and just the way he acts throughout the movie, you're like, he's one of those where he's crazy enough to be the killer, but at the same time you're like, he's too stupid to be the killer. Like, he's too obvious almost.
His two of his best scenes, or best lines I'll say, in this movie were improvised, and that's, I mean, spoiler alert coming up here. But at the end, when he kind of gets stabbed and he's like hanging out by the phone, and Billy, is that the boyfriend?
Yeah.
Throws the phone at him.
Yeah.
Or he was
hit me with the phone, Dick.
That was improvised. It wasn't supposed to hit him, and it did. And then he just improvised that line, and then he picks it up and he's like, You really gonna tell my parents or whatever? You're
really gonna call the police? Yeah.
Oh,
my mom's gonna be so mad at me.
Yeah, that was improvised.
It's fantastic. Because that's
his best lines.
That's an instance, in my opinion, because we're getting ahead of ourselves, obviously, but that's an instance, in my opinion, where there is comic relief within a serious moment, and it doesn't ruin the serious moment.
Doesn't, like, divert it, yeah.
I think I'm dying here.
Shit.
I'm feeling a little woozy.
You know what's interesting? I said that little factoid about him getting the role, and he was accompanying his then girlfriend to a different audition. It must have not worked out, because I do know through this movie, like, he started dating Neve Campbell.
Oh, really? I was wondering if he was dating. I was thinking that the other day. I was like, I wonder if he dated Rose McGowan, but
no. Nah, she dated David Arquette, you know, from Ready to Rumble.
Ah, indeed.
That's not true, but this is actually the movie where...
I mean, Courtney Cox and him were, like, married after this movie, so...
Yeah, this is where they met.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where they kicked it off. But I was going to say something about Wes Craven earlier. Oh, I was just going to...
He's who I'm going to pick to direct this film.
That's right.
Good thing he's not dead.
Yeah, that's in poor taste.
Yeah.
But I was going to say he hated the title of Scream. I didn't get to spit that out earlier.
You wanted it to be called Friday the 13th Nightmare.
Yeah, he wanted it to be called Scary Movie, so he's a little disappointed in the change. He has a cameo in this movie. Did you know this, Wes Craven?
Yeah, he's the janitor.
Yeah, he's Fred yeah. The janitor.
Yeah. He hated the title Scream so much, he made three more movies with the same title.
Yeah. And now they're working on a fifth one.
Yeah, without him. For some reason. Oh, did we lose Gus? We lost Gus.
Oh, Bryson.
Batman!
Batman and Bryson. That was frustrating. I was like, I was talking, and you're like, "Do we lose Gus?" I'm like, "Nah, I'm still here." Like,
that's the worst.
I think we lost him. Like, I'm here.
You idiot.
Felt like a ghost.
Like Murph.
Yes. shit. I'm a ghost. I'm a ghost face Gus.
Didn't you know it? Some of my games fell off my shelf. I didn't have a chance to put it in a Morse code yet, but I'm not smart like that.
Yeah. That was so frustrating. I don't even remember what I was talking about.
People bring up the science of Interstellar, but they never talk about the fact that this little girl took those books and figured out Morse code from it.
Hey, that makes sense. Her dad taught her to do that.
Her dad was her ghost.
That's right.
Anyways, I have no clue where we left off.
Yeah, internet troubles.
Hacha. Damn. Anyways, let's just talk about... I'm sure we can always say internet troubles if need be and go from there.
We
lost our train of thought.
Maybe.
I was just gonna say, we like Scream, and that's it. See ya. We should probably though touch base on just the film in general. So the opening scene, I think the opening sequence in this film, which we kind of touch base on with Drew Barrymore, is definitely the most effective opening sequence in a horror movie.
Ooh, that's bold.
I'll say this. I guess I should preface this. Maybe not the most. I'll say top five. Five because Jaws is astounding.
Jaws. What about Halloween? The opening with the first person through the eye holes.
Michael.
Yeah,
it's my first nipple.
that's super classic.
It is
classic nipples.
It is classic. I'm trying to think of other ones that have iconic opening sequences.
The opening sequence is what's kind of tricky. I'm thinking like maybe Nightmare on Elm Street, but there's more iconic parts that come later in Nightmare on Elm Street. But no, we just named a few good ones.
How about Insidious? Just this opening credits.
gave me the willies. You have your video camera on, so I can see you here. You look like John Connor.
Thank God.
And T2.
Maybe not as thank God. I thought you were saying I look like. I look like Christian Bale. It's like yes.
Of course not. Your hair. Look at your fucking hair.
What are you saying? So,
let's get back on track. The Scream opening sequence is classic. We already talked about how it subverts expectation, which I think makes this movie a horror classic. This movie is fun. It has the mystery element, the whodunit element to it. It has the slew of characters that we mentioned, and we should probably mention Neve Campbell a bit more.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't get mentioned enough.
Yeah, she's a strong female protagonist in this, who kind of becomes one of those like classic for female protagonists in horror movies, if you ask me. And but I'll tell you what, this is a personal flaw of this movie, if you ask me. The boyfriend, Billy.
Yes.
He is creepy. Yes. Always.
Yes.
Always creepy.
Yes.
And so they keep.
I was watching The Exorcist and it made me think of sex.
Yeah. I just never creeped through your window before, Sydney. Like, why won't you have sex with me, Sydney? He's like, I'm sorry I don't squeeze into your perfect existence. I'm like, look at this fucker. He's not perfect. There's nothing. There's another person who mentions he's Mr. Perfect, but there's nothing that he does that is perfect. He's creepy, he's sleazy looking. I know he has a rough past, like with his mother leaving the family. Not that inflects anything on him, but he doesn't have like the perfect.
Hey, this is the 90s in California. If you're hot, you're perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Yeah,
but he's almost too creepy, and he's too obvious. Maybe that's the point. Maybe he's supposed to be too obvious. He's like too obvious to be the killer.
I think that's why. Because so opening sequence, right? Drew Barrymore's killed, which is honestly, like I said, one of the best opening sequences in a film in history. Yeah, easily. Super effective for what they set out to do. But then you go into that from there. And it introduces all the other characters, and they really don't waste much time. Maybe what, like 20, 30 minutes in, basically introducing all the characters, but also giving a couple characters alibis. Like I said, they give Matthew Lillard's character an alibi. They give Tatum technically an alibi. Billy, they don't, but. He was at her house. He was at her house, actually. So they do. They give him an alibi, and then Neve Campbell, they don't give an alibi to. Or her dad, which they kind of lean into pretty heavy. But on top of all of that, they also, within the first like 30 minutes or so, give him, basically implicate him early on, like super early, and then revoke that implication immediately, mm-hmm. which is fantastic because you have no inkling that it's two killers. And
yeah, why would you have ever thought that there would be two?
Exactly. So they do such a good job. So I think that is kind of the point. Yeah, he's obviously creepy. How obvious that has problems. And that's why they waste literally no time implicating him and then immediately revoking it. From him. Although he does kind of play his cards when he threatens Randy at the video store, but we'll get there.
That's right. They're all creepy. And even Stu is creepy in that scene.
Never. He's never creepy. I mean, he's just there to stick his tongue out and be energetic.
Yeah, he does do that quite a bit.
Huh?
But, yeah, the ending is exciting. And it gets the blood pumping, And then it wraps with, yeah, the fact that you find out there are two killers. They both die some juicy deaths, I would say.
Yeah, and let's kind of talk about, so this movie, so Drew Barrymore at the beginning, this introduces the, every killer, every horror movie has their famous weapon of choice, and this one's a hunting knife, which is kind of original, right? Something that I always liked about this film too is that the killer gets his ass kicked a lot.
He's clumsy.
Yeah, like he's obviously a high schooler, which I kind of like. Like it's not like a Michael Myers or a Jason where they're just like an unstoppable force. They take a kick to the nuts and they're out for a little bit.
he'll trip over the table.
Yeah, which is fantastic. I will say though, sometimes I'm like, "How are you? Are you still living?" Which is kind of touched upon in Scream 2 with the car crash scene, which is also extraordinarily effective. But we're not talking about Scream 2. But some of the kills, yeah, you got the Drew Barrymore killing at the beginning, which is super effective, and her boyfriend. But then, what's after? The next one is Henry Winkler?
I guess, yeah.
Which is pretty over the top. Yeah, I think it is. The next one is Henry Winkler. They try to kill Sydney, and then it's Henry Winkler. Mm-hmm. And then it's like a bloodbath at the end, kind
probably of. Probably the most unrealistic death. I mean, I thought it was like, as far as like horror movie kills go, it was like a fun, creative death. But my God, no way would that ever happen.
Tatum's death.
Tatum's death. Rose McGowan's character. She crawls through like the garage doggy door, gets stuck. And then the garage door lifts up and she gets like crushed in it. I'm like,
yeah,
nah, those motors in this garage door opener, no way it would have even been able to lift her.
Yeah. The wife was like, why would she even try? Like, this is like the sixth Halloween we've watched this. She's like, why would she even try to go through that? I'm like, I mean, I wouldn't in that instance. I wouldn't try to go through that, but
they spoofed that scene and
we lost Gus again.
Falls down and then the door there anyway.
We lost you for a second. We lost you for a second there. We lost you for a second there.
Oh shit!
You said they spoofed that in the scene, yeah, and it came back with it falls down.
Yeah, they spoof it in Scary Movie where the garage door goes up, but then it just crashes down, and then the door falls on her anyway. It probably kills her. Another fun factoid: the writer of this film, he was his favorite actress was Molly Ringwald. And he wanted her to play the role of Sydney, but she turned it down because she thought she'd be a little too old. To play at high school at the time. She was, I think she was 27.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Tobey Maguire could do it. She can too.
That's right. But yeah, Scream is a good movie. I think it's a good horror movie. It's a great horror movie. I don't want to say good. It is one of my favorite horror movies now that we've been talking about it. But as far as like Halloween goes, like, do I watch it every year? No.
I do
enjoy it though. Maybe it should get put in my lexicon of yearly Halloween spooktacular movies. Cause I do have a really fun time watching this movie, and I do enjoy the sequels too. Other than the fourth one, I don't really care for the fourth
one. I haven't really watched that one yet, but I mean, I guess, yeah, at the end it has one of the greatest twists in really horror movie history, but also I wouldn't say it's one of the greatest twists, but I'd say it's like, if we were looking at twists in cinema, it would be considered amongst like the greats. Like, it is a great twist.
Especially for the time, like, yeah, when it came out. Like, now it's this kind of common knowledge type of deal, especially with the sequels. It's like, there's, we will find, like, it's one of these people, like, one of these people's a killer kind of thing. I had one last good point. I guess I have two. One more factoid. This movie, I told you recently, but it was on the line to get an NC-17 rating.
Yeah, which blows my mind.
Yeah, because it's not that violent. Maybe it was, and they had to like just change it up to avoid that. But
Candyman wasn't as bad as this,
or anything else.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure, like, The Shining is more violent than this.
Pretty sure
The
Sixth Sense is spookier than this.
Yeah. Tremors, for God's sake.
God damn.
PG-13.
Have you seen that scene where he pulls the hat off the ground and sees the face?
Yeah, they got nothing like that in Scream. But,
like, you see Jaws? Hold my beer.
Yeah, and that's Tremors. PG.
Yeah. Jesus.
So, there's that. And then the name of the gentleman escapes me. I should have had this handy, but the voice of Ghostface, and who calls and torments everyone throughout the film. Also, what is it? Caller ID sales went up like threefold after this movie.
Oh wow!
Yeah, big fun. Big, yeah.
Have your girlfriend watch this movie, and then what's it? Star 67, Star 69. When it, like, makes it an unknown caller, and call her from it, and just make her shit. Be like, hello, so-and-so.
That's her name.
Hello, girlfriend.
The voice actor who did the voice, he was a local voice actor. He did, like, commercials and stuff. And he was just supposed
That's
to
That's terrifying.
He was just supposed to be like a fill-in voice until they found someone later. Basically, he would do the talking into the phone, and the actors would react to that, and they were going to dub over that later in post once they found the right voice. But he was the right voice.
Oh, yeah,
liked it so much, and they loved his performance so much. He stayed on, and he has, I think, second credit of the movie in the ending credits of the voice Ghostface.
See, I didn't know there. I honestly never really looked into it. I didn't realize there was just a like a Ghostface. I just assumed it was one of the two actors, Billy or Stu, on like a legit voice changer or something.
One of the, like as they allude to with the thing. But it's
we were gonna go out.
Yeah, it's Roger Jackson is the name of the voice actor, and he went on to play the voice of Ghostface in all the sequels. That's what he's most known for.
Do you think Drew Barrymore's boyfriend would have been upset that she was considering going on a date with voice?
I mean, why not?
That's a voice. Sultry tones.
I'm looking at this guy's career, and he actually poo-poo on me. If I might have read my facts incorrectly. I think I have. Let me just double-check on something here.
Why? Unless, does he have a very established career? Did his voice acting go up after this film, or was he just established already?
Actually, it does go up way like after this. After Scream, he's in a bunch of stuff. But
like, it looks this like guy has an intimidating voice.
It looks like he's the voice of Mojo Jojo now.
Wasn't that Tom Kenny?
Nah, he was the mayor.
He's the mayor. I thought he was also Mojo Jojo. Okay.
Nah.
Tom Kenny, for those of you who don't know, is SpongeBob as well.
That's right. Even spookier than that.
Yeah, obviously.
He's always been the voice of Mojo Jojo. So there you go. Well, so I take back what I said. He's doing commercials and stuff.
You idiot! Yeah,
I mean, that's what I read, so don't blame me.
So the killer from Scream is Mojo Jojo. So when you think Mojo Jojo is not intimidating, well, hey, wait until he asks you what your favorite scary movie is.
I'd rather him ask me.
What's your favorite scary movie?
That'd be great. But on that note, what if we switch up our factory a little bit? What if instead of recasting this movie, this classic Halloween movie, what if we just had some fun for the spooky season and change the voice actor? Although he's perfect, I do say he's perfect, but just for fun, let's pick anyone in anything to who would be the new voice of the Ghostface.
Indeed. Before I do that, I just want to say the killer's deaths in this movie real quick. The TV getting shoved on top of his head. Fantastic, Stu. And then getting shot in the fucking head and stabbed with an umbrella. Pretty great, too. Anyways, at this portion of the show, this is where we take to the factory. We take the film we just watched and we submit it there. That's where we take the film we just watched and imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, just different booking. However, for the purposes of today's episode and Halloween spooky month in October, we decided to change it up. And like Gus just said, imagine what Ghostface's voice would be like if it was anyone else. Who would we have be that Ghostface voice? Last week we did Lost Boys and we did vampires, famous vampires, replacing the roles of the vampires in the film. So this week we're doing famous voices replacing the voice, the iconic voice of Ghostface. So with that being said, I guess this will almost be more of a debate in a sense. I mean, what if it was Rocky, hello Sydney, hey, how you doing? You know, like I'm not saying that Jason isn't the killer in Friday the 13th, but if you were smart, you'd know that his mother, Mrs. Voorhees, was the what?
Hey, you got a boyfriend?
Yeah, it's perfect. You got a boyfriend? You know, I'm just saying, I thought we were going to go out, and I'm not saying, whore. Like, you're not whore. Hey, maybe we ring the bell, maybe we don't.
God, that's good stuff.
We can do that. In that first opening scene, I'll tell you this much: if I'm the voice of Ghostface, I'm going to break at least three windows.
I'll trip over shit and I'll fall right through.
No, I'm going to throw a chair through one. I'm going to grab her through one. Grab her like the mid.
I tied up her boyfriend with a lot of rope
and duct tape.
That's the unreleased Hitchcock movie I did. Duct tape.
It's a sequel to Rope.
Shit. Yeah, that's in my heart of hearts. That's what I want.
You just want Jimmy.
Jimmy Stewart. Yeah.
Think about how unintimidating. Hello. What's your name?
What would Jeff Goldblum sound like on the phone?
Ha 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 ha. You go hello. You're like, oh shit.
I know who this is.
If you answered the phone and you heard like a legit Jeff Goldblum like tone, it was creepy. Like he'd already asked you what your favorite scary movie is, and you're kind of getting scared and worried, and you hang up, and he answers like, "Listen, you hang up on me one more time." Oh, it's going to be chaos theory, chaos, and you don't want that, because you know what you call hanging up on someone, I say rape of the natural world.
And I will gut you like a fish. I learned it on my Disney Plus show.
I don't know if you've seen The Fly, but that's what I'll do to your hand.
I will gack on your hand for sure. Shit. Trying to think of who else we could do. You know what?
Arnold. Hello.
It's been a long day. I was going to be like, oh, how about John Travolta? Like, why did his name
hey.
Come to my, and who does an impression of that?
Hey, we're gonna have this like Christopher Walken. I don't know why it came out that way.
My John Travolta turns into Chris Walken and be like, Sydney, who the fuck is that? Sandy. Yeah, Christopher Walken. Hello, good day to you. You're talking me all wrong.
It's the wrong tone. You're guessing the wrong movie in my little game. Do it again. I'll stab you in the face with a wooden spoon.
I feel like Christopher Walken would just kill him anyways, though. He wouldn't even give him the option. He wouldn't play. He's a very matter-of-fact man. What about...
Listen, I got a lot of things on my plate for today, so let's just hurry this up.
About, like, Clint Eastwood? Like, old Clint Eastwood, though. You went from, to, ugh.
You would know he's the killer because he would show up in his ghost face costume, but his pants would be up to his tits.
he'd just be old. He's just waddling around.
Yeah. You said my name earlier. It could have been Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hello, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm here to tell you that I'm going to kill you with cookies, with
logs.
With a whole tree I've been carrying around all day. And I've had this Turbo Man doll. I'm going to shove it up your ass.
That's where it went. Shit. It started with cookies. I like all the fucking Arnold movies. You could have went for it. You went with cookies, Jingle All the Way, and Turbo Man, Jingle All the Way. You went all those movies where he's a killer. You went with the movie where he's a nice father.
I did use a bit of Commando with the log, I guess.
No, you did Predator with the log. It would be a pipe with Commando.
I was thinking at the beginning of Commando when he's introduced, he's literally carrying a whole fucking tree on the show.
I was thinking of Predator.
Yeah, I see. You're getting mushed. Shit.
Schwarzenegger's got a log. What can we say?
You know who would actually be a good choice to be the voice of Ghostface now? It would be someone like Mark
Eat
Hamill.
This! Oh.
No. That'll peak. That would say like Mark Hamill or something. But it would probably sound too much like his recent Chucky voice.
Yeah. I actually haven't seen that yet, and I'm very interested. I'm punishing myself. It's like a childhood thing, because I've actually gone back and watched Child's Play.
It's pretty good.
And the original. And it's been years. I've only ever watched that movie once. And it's because it was a childhood fear. And when I watched it, I had anxiety, even though I was like, this is not scary. And I still have anxiety watching it. Like, it's just a baked-in childhood fear. And I do not want to watch the new one. I even brought it up to the wife. I said, do you want to rent this? Or and maybe it's on something. It might be on HBO or something. And I discussed watching it with her. And she's like, I'm not really a fan of the Chucky movies. I'm like, neither am I. So,
and that is done.
So I haven't heard Mark Hamill's Chucky voice, actually. Does it just sound like the Joker? Hello, bats!
A little bit. It's there. It sounds like... like creepy Mark Hamill.
It sounds like Mark Hamill.
Yeah, a little bit. He sounds a lot like Joker. He sounds like trying to think of other examples. He's like, I'll show you. Oh yeah, that was it. He got inspiration for his Chucky voice from Henry Clive?
Henry Cavill.
No. Henry, or maybe I'm mixing up the name. The guy who played the Invisible Man, the original Invisible Man.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see.
I don't remember his name, but he has a really cool voice.
It's something Clive, 1933, and we'll get rid of that, because this is important. I shouldn't disrespect.
Does it mean something, though?
Yes. Claude Rains.
That's not Clive, but you were close.
I was close. Claude Rains.
Father?
Yeah. I think if we come down to it, I would flip you for Jimmy Stewart or Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Jimmy, I mean, it's a hard flip because, you know, Jimmy would be there. Jimmy would be in the window watching from afar with the binoculars ready to pounce. He'd be on it really quick. He'd get in there, he'd grab her and he'd stab her.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, he'd come in there, he'd say, hold on a second, I got to bench press a little bit, and then I got to make a protein shake. I see you making Jiffy Pop, I'll squeeze it next to you and cook a chicken breast, and then I will stab you in the breast with the chicken breast.
I feel like...
And then I'll take a turbo mental and I'll shove it up your ass.
And then I'll bench you.
I'll bench your dead weight. I'll deadlift you.
I'll do chin-ups from the tree as I hang you from it.
Yeah,
you go. Set up logs to kill your parents as they come to put you down.
Get down, I'm going to put you down.
Do it.
So, let's flip it. And we got... Hey, we got Jimmy.
Oh, yes. Yes, I've been living my whole life to be a killer. And grew up in Indiana, PA, not fantasize about nothing. I'm just gonna, you know, my mother left me, and I just decided to kill people, you know, have a little killing spree with my best bud, Don, over here.
Don?
Yeah, calm and murder. You know, that's what we're gonna do. We're not gonna be very calm, but we're gonna do a lot of murder.
That's their duo, calm and murder.
Minus the calm.
Yeah, calm. Yeah. Calm.
Why are we watching Ghost and Mr. Chicken?
Hey, maybe next week. Who knows? Who knows?
It's Halloween Spooky Month. That's about as spooky as it gets.
Yeah, this is, hey, we're all relaxed here. We're enjoying ourselves. We can do whatever we want.
Indeed. It's our show.
It's our show. Internet puttered out, threw us off a time or two, but hey, we're here. And you spit listeners, you're here too.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
Jimmy Stewart in spirit. And that's yeah. what we do. That's what we do in the Brothers Movie Factories. We keep Jimmy Stewart alive.
Yeah. He's somewhere in heaven. He's going, God damn it. but anyways.
Grab us and stab us.
Grabbing and stabbing everyone in the sight. Hey, I don't care. I'll tie you up with some rope. I'll put on my costume. I'll wander into the window, break it, and take it.
Yeah, you are.
But indeed, do you have a question before you go? Or are you about spent? About does it wraps are all up?
If I did have a question planned out, and it has eluded me once more. I always have something planned, and then we get to talk, and then I always forget about it. You got a question for me?
Oh, hell. If you, I think I've asked this before.
I got a good question, too.
So if you, I'll change it up. This will be interesting. If you were in a horror movie and you had, we'll say, out of all the things you wouldn't want to be chased by in a horror, like pursued by in a horror movie, what would it be? Like, what's your biggest fear in a horror movie? Like, who wouldn't you want to be chased by? This is a two-parter.
Knick-knack from GoldenEye.
Jesus, that's not a horror movie. But he would be pretty intimidating. You'd be having sex, and he's just hiding in a briefcase.
Actually, you know, on that line, it would probably be the slapping dummy from Master of Disguise. Something I did not want to have chase me. I actually once had a nightmare. I was riding a bike down a wood trail, and
Sandy from SpongeBob when she's hibernating was
it was kind of like that, but it was someone else on a bike, but it was Ghostface from Scream, but he was chasing me with an axe.
I feel like that would be less intimidating seeing him on a bike. I feel like it'd be like Brand from fucking Goonies, a little kid bike, like him coming after you.
It was very creepy at the time, but honestly, I'm thinking of this and my head keeps going to Pennywise. Like, I'm talking Tim Curry.
All right, Pennywise. So you got Tim Curry's Pennywise coming after you. What character from a Quentin Tarantino movie are you going to have protect you?
Oh, that's easy. That's Leonardo DiCaprio
That's easy. Hollywood. You're like, that's easy. John Ruth the Hangman. It's done. He's got silver bullets.
I want Leo from
from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because he's got that flamethrower.
But that's not going to do shit against him, dude.
It'll blow him away. Eat battery acid, bitch. And fries him. My question for you was this show, I keep hearing the rattling, and it plays off what I just said. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, been drinking 8 goddamn whiskey sours over there.
Hell yeah. Sorry. if you hear rattling going on, that's a whiskey sour. Sorry.
So what horror movie character would you like to enjoy a whiskey sour with? Enjoy one with. Yes.
Like the bad guy? Like
yeah, I'll say the bad guy.
Okay.
Not going to make it easy on you.
Oh, that's rough. Hannibal Lecter.
That was my pick too.
Yeah, I feel like he would I feel like he would at least enjoy it and give me a good conversation before he kills me.
Maybe Jack Nicholson from The Shining.
Maybe.
Here's to 6 months or whatever he says in The Shining.
Jack Nicholson, Norman Bates, maybe.
A little slow tonight, Lloyd.
Norman Bates, maybe, because he won't kill you until he's dressed up like his mother. See, that's a giveaway.
Like, where are you going?
I'll be back. I'll be like, all right, I'll be
right back.
I'm heading that. Definitely not Michael Myers. He's too spooky.
He probably wouldn't drink anything anyway.
When's that movie come out? Sorry to get off topic, but when's
next year?
Oh my god. I don't know what it is about Michael Myers. Terrifying to me. And I love him though. But was it? It was the next one, Halloween Kills? Is that what it's called? Machete mm-hmm. Kills? I watched that like brief teaser. And that was like one of the most effective horror movies. I was like, holy shit, I need to see what happens. Like the fire trucks go into the house and I'm like, no! I'm like, my god, no, he's dead.
It was supposed to come out this October, but like everything got delayed till next year.
Oh my god, dude. I am hyped for that movie because I love the new Halloween. I love all the Halloweens, but we'll talk about that at a later date. That was the show, everyone. We hope you enjoyed it. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Audioboom. That is our primary site. That's where we record the show first. Well, we record the show, post it there first, and then subsequently it gets shipped out everywhere else. So Spotify, Google Play, Amazon, iTunes, wherever you find your podcast. Hey, we're there. You can also find us at the Bros Movie Pod on Twitter. We're at the Bros Movie Pod on Twitter. That's where we'll be posting links to the show, clips of the show, memes that Gus makes, etc., etc. So be sure to check us out over there. Also, find us on Facebook.
Hey, if you go to Facebook and type in the Brothers Movie Factory, I'll be there. I promise. Like us, follow along as I like to make memes of what we're watching each and every week, as well as posting links to the things Ben mentioned a moment ago, to Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. But until next week,
brothers.